You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Next weekend at the Duke Energy Convention Center, the Cincinnati International Wine Festival kicks off its 2013 celebration. And on the phone with me from California this morning is the owner of Patson Hall Winery. Donald Patz is the honorary chairman of the 2013 Cincinnati International Wine Festival. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to Cincinnati Edition. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Mark.
I want to say I had a chance to try out your 2010 Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir, and you it was delightful. Just a party in my mouth, I think I told you before the interview began. And you focus on these, what they call single vineyard Chardonnay and Pinot Noir wines. For the uninitiated, please explain what a single vineyard Chardonnay and Pinot Noir is.
No problem. There's many different ways to approach the idea of wine, but one of the most interesting to me is that wine actually has a distinctive flavor based on where the grapes are grown, which is really unusual. I mean, not like growing corn or wheat or even most fruits or vegetables just don't do this when they're made into wine. But that's, I think, the most intriguing and exciting thing about wine for me is that these expressions from a particular place can actually be delivered in a bottle of wine. And that's what we focus on. Of course, we do a couple of other wines that are blends of several different vineyards, but the majority of the different bottlings that we do are specific to a particular little piece of dirt that we work with. And the expression of that is distinctive every year and part of the fun of making the wines and sharing them.
Well, how did you get into winemaking? Because I know before you began Patson Hall with your partners, among them James Hall of the Patson Hall, that you were working for another winemaker.
Yes, actually. James Hall and I both met when we worked together at Flora Springs Winery. And I, after that, left and worked at Girard Winery. And James went and worked at Honig Cellars. And one of our other partners, Ann Moses, worked at several different wineries, including Spring Mountain. So we had a lot of experience in the wine business when we decided to get together and make wine as a group. You know, I think it gives us a different perspective on it than somebody from outside who just thinks, oh, it'd be great to be in the wine business.
You talked about the distinctiveness of the grapes and the grapes reflecting the personality of the soil that it's they're grown in. And, of course, in California or actually around the world, Napa Valley is known for their grape growing and their wines. But you're based in Sonoma. Why did you decide Sonoma versus Napa?
Well, the fact of the matter is that we all lived in Napa. In fact, we all still do live in Napa. But with the wines that we were most interested in, Chardonnay at first, there were some interesting places that that Napa had, and we started doing a Napa Valley Chardonnay. But as the years have gone by, and we just finished our 25th harvest this last fall.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. We found that as we began looking for the particular type of grapes that we wanted, more often than not, we were finding what we wanted in Sonoma, and we, you know, sort of just said, fine, if that's where the best grapes are for Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, and I think it's true that that's the case, then why not just be over in Sonoma? And so we set our little winery up over in Sonoma, and we primarily get grapes from Sonoma, but we get grapes from as far north as Mendocino and as far south as Monterey County as well.
You work with a number of different growers. Many wineries focus on their own vineyards, but you've got a collaboration of a number of grape growers around the area, as you said, spread over a wide geographical area. How do you handle each of those growers?
That's a great question. Well, the fact of the matter is that each one of these guys are very individualistic, and we have a sort of standard contract that we write up with them. And inevitably, each of them want to have something different taken out or put into the contract. But it becomes a really much more of a collegial kind of thing, where there's a sense sometimes when I read about wines elsewhere that somehow or another the winemaker just barks orders at these poor guys that are cringing in the vineyard and doing his or her bidding. And that's no fun. We're a little tiny company, and most of these people have small businesses that are running wine vineyards for us. Nobody wants to have some overlord barking orders at them or, you know, sending them nasty faxes in the middle of the night about what to do. So We find the best method for working with our growers, there's two things that are really important. The first one is, you know, establish a good relationship so that there's trust on both sides and we're not just asking ridiculous things for no reason. The second and probably even the most important thing out of this relationship is pay your bills on time. These guys really like it. If you tell them you're going to pay on a certain date and the money actually shows up then,
I bet.
Kind of a critical part of the relationship.
I was reading an article off the Huffington Post that came out in September 2012 where Mary Oren wrote, you could say Patson Hall leads the way in recognizing their growers as rock stars. And it is something you do with your wines where you actually credit what vineyard they came from.
Yeah.
And that's that seems to be pretty much unique, not singularly unique, but fairly unique among wineries.
Well, I'd say that it's a small number of wineries that do that, but we certainly weren't the first, and undoubtedly will not be the last to do this. But I think we may have taken it to a little different level, where our labels really focus on the name of the vineyard on the front, because we only do Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. So if it's a white wine, you know it's Chardonnay, or we do. I'd really rather you remember the name of the vineyard than that it was a Chardonnay. If you're drinking the white wine, same with red wine. If it's red and Patson Hall made it, it's Pinot Noir.
Well, I have to say your Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir was excellent when I gave it a taste here before the interview. And I wanted to ask how you can tell, as a winemaker, what the wine's going to taste from the grapes. I mean, how do you taste the grapes and get a feel for how the wine might be, besides years of experience, no doubt. Years and years of experience.
Yeah. You can't. That's the short answer. You can make some guesses, educated guesses, based on what other people have done using the grapes from that particular vineyard or what other wines that have been made from grapes in the close proximity. But the fact of the matter is I do not believe anybody can taste a grape and then know exactly what the wine is going to taste like after it's been finished. There's a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that it's got so much sugar in it, usually over 22 or 23% sugar by volume, that it just, that's the loudest voice. It just shouts everything else down. You can't pick up any of the subtleties of what's going to come out. But, you know, there's a lot of things, I think, that go into the probability of making something really interesting. Certainly the soil is one, and the grower, the person actually is out there every day doing the work, if they're really good at it, you know that that's going to elevate the site. And certainly selections of grape varieties and things like that are all going to impact it. But it's the entirety of it, I think, that makes the distinctive character of that particular wine.
Well, I always ask the winemakers that I speak to prior to the Cincinnati International Wine Festival about advice and tips. So, Donald Patz of Patson Hall, when someone is going to the Cincinnati International Wine Festival next weekend or one of the winery dinners this week, what kind of advice or tips would you offer them?
Well, I think at the big tastings, the most important thing is to kind of take a moment, either before you get there or just after you step into the room, look at the list of wineries that are going to be there, and make sure you see the people that you are most interested in seeing or maybe have never tasted before first, because sometimes these guys run out of wine. So you might want to sprint over to your favorite place to get a chance to taste it. Patson Hall will have wine. Believe me, we'll have wine there. But, you know, you want to go to the places that you want to go to first. And ask questions. Sometimes people feel a little awkward about it or that somehow or another it's going to be embarrassing if they ask a dumb question. But in this particular case, I mean, we've heard most people who've been around the wine business for a while have heard lots of different kinds of questions. Most of them are really pretty interesting, and it's great to have a chance to talk about what we do. Imagine how often many of us get out. Not that often. We're, you know, walking up and down vineyards, so seeing another human is kind of exciting.
Well, a lot of fun, and it always is, and look forward to seeing you this week.
Absolutely.
Donald Patz, the owner of Patson Hall Winery and honorary chair of the 2013 Cincinnati International Wine Festival. The grand tastings take place next weekend at the Duke Energy Convention Center, and there are lots of classes and other activities. You can learn about them all when you visit our website, wvxu.org. And when you visit the website, you'll also find a link to the Patson Hall website. Well, Donald, thanks again for your time, and salute.
Salute.